Our 16th week to look at David. So very prominent character in the Old Testament for obvious reasons. A man after God's own heart. So we've seen at least four aspects of the chastisement that David has had to face due to his sin, his adultery and murder. And who can remember what some of those are?
The chastisement.
What have we seen so far as the chastisement? Anybody raise your hand if you know one, Kelvin? So the civil war over Absalom trying to steal the kingdom, 20,000 people died because of David's sin. So that's one thing. What else? Howard? Okay, so the child died that Bathsheba carried. Anybody else? What else have we seen as part of that promised chastisement? So Absalom died in the civil war. How do we get up to that point? There were a couple things that happened that led to that. Right, Amnon raped his sister, and then Absalom killed Amnon, both of those sons of David, Tamar, his daughter. So all of this happened as part of the chastisement. Last week we saw that Absalom died, and David was finally returned to Jerusalem and to his throne. And that's where we find ourselves here in chapter 19. Remember back when they were fleeing from Absalom and there was a guy named Shimei, and he was cursing David and throwing rocks at David and his soldiers. And of course, you know, his loyal men said, "Let us go take care of this problem." And he said, "No, let him curse. This is probably just part of it. So God will see it." But let's just let him do what he's doing. So that we find now here in chapter 19, verses 16 to 23, Shimei shows up again. So Brother Scott, if you could read those 16 to 23, and then we'll pray.
And Shimei, the son of Gera, from Benjamite, which was of Abubur, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king, and they went over the ferry boat to carry it over the king's household, and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan, and said unto the king, "Let not my lord compute iniquity into me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, "Shall not Shimei he put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" And David said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Israel, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there be any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?" Therefore the king said unto Shimei, "Thou shalt not die," and the king swear unto
him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we continue studying your word. Please guide us and speak to our hearts as we study the life of David. May we continue to learn and apply to our own walk. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So along the way, we've caught glimpses of the character of David and why he was a man after God's own heart. Another example. So what do we see here? David has a golden opportunity to deal with the situation. His loyal men want to take care of it. Shimei, remember, cursed him and threw rocks at them. He could have been killed at that time. It was very foolish of him to do what he did. But now he's first to come back and say, I sinned, I was wrong, please forgive me. And David forgives him. So we already are seeing one of the reasons why David was a man after God's own, aren't we? Because even in the midst of all this chastisement, David continues to be different than what our flesh wants to do. And I think that's one of the reasons why he was a man after God's own heart. So thoughts or questions about that before we now look at Mephibosheth again? Remember Mephibosheth? You guys are getting good at saying that word, eh? So it's your turn, Howard, to say the name, Mephibosheth. 24 to 30.
Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, "Wherefore went thou with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, and I may ride deer on, and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were not dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" And the king said unto him, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land." And the Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Yea, let him take all, for as much as thy lord the king is come again in peace unto his house, unto his own house."
So Mephibosheth looks like he was deceived by a servant and didn't leave with David. Remember when David was fleeing for his life as Absalom was taking over? And but he realizes that he could die right now. But he's willing. Did you notice that? He said, "Just do what you think is good. If I need to die, kill me right here." But David again forgives. So this is David. This is the real David, isn't it? So thoughts or questions before we move on? So we've got Shimei, forgiven. Mephibosheth, forgiven. Nobody? All right, now Barzillai. This will be a good one, Brent. So 31 to 40.
"And Barzillai, Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even fourscore years old. And he had provided the king a sustenance while he lay at the Hanan, for he was a very great man. The king said unto Barzillai, 'Come now over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem.' And Barzillai said unto the king, 'How long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day fourscore years old. Can I discern between good and evil? Can my servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Jimon, let him go over with my lord the king. Do to him what shall seem good unto thee." And the king answered, "Jimon shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee." And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, King kissed Barzillai, blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. All the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel.
So this older man wanted to die at his own home, but David agreed to bless his servant in his stead. So just more blessings, forgiveness, blessings. So David's been humbled, hasn't he, through all of this, which is very good. But the chastisement's not over. The child died. The brother raped his sister. The brother killed the brother. The other brother tried to steal the kingdom. Civil war, 20,000 people dead. But it's not over, sadly. So that brings us to more wars and famines. So James 41 to 43.
And behold, the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, why have thou written the men of Judah stolen thee away, and have brought the king and his household, all David's men with him, out of Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us, wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten all of the king's cost, or have they given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah, and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than he. Why then despise us, that our advice should not be first, had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel.
So we can already see a bit of strife between Judah and the rest of Israel, and as you know, that will be the division after Solomon's sin. Judah is to the northern kingdom, Israel the southern kingdom, and that will be for a very, very long time. They will be divided. So now a man named Sheba decides to try a rebellion. That's not over. So Cash, chapter 21 to 3. Chapter 20, 1 to 3.
And there happened to be there a man of the law, named Sheba, son of the Cree, Benjamin. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Give a man to his tent, so Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David and brought up Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto the king, from Jordan even to Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took there 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them inward and fed them, but went not unto them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living in the world.
So Sheba said, well, fine, if this is the way it's going to be, David can just have Judah and the rest of us Israelites will just go our own way. It doesn't look good, does it? So now Amasa gets involved, and Joab as well. So 4 to 12, Brandon.
Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, and he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed them. And David said to Abishai, now send Sheba the son of Bichri, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou the Lord's servant and pursue after him, lest he get in fenced cities and escape us. And they went out after him, Joab's men, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And they were the great stone which is in Gibeon. Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him. And upon it was a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins, and the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. Amasa took no heed of the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and strake him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And one of Job's men stood by him and said, "He that favoureth Job, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab." And Amasa followed in blood in the midst of the highway, wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the men saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him. And he saw that everyone that came by him stood still.
So Joab overstepped his bounds a bit, didn't he? And killed Amasa. But we're in the midst of a potential civil war again with Sheba. So Joab's going to take care of the problem the way Joab always does, with a sword. So that will bring us to 13 to 22. Nathan, you want to read that for us?
When he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth-Machah and all of the Barites. And they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth-Machah. And they cast up a bank against the city and it stood in the trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say I pray unto you, unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." And she said unto him, "Hear the words of thy handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." Then she spake, saying, They were wont to speak in all times, saying, "They shall surely ask counsel at Abel," and so they ended the matter. "I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" Can I read it?
Yep, to 22.
And Joab answered and said, Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri, by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to the end of the wall." Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab, and he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king.
What a wise woman, huh? She rescued her entire city from being wiped out because they were harboring Sheba, who was leading another rebellion against the king, another potential civil war. And she took care of the problem, didn't she? With help from the people in the city. And so Joab went back home, and now David's going to establish some new leaders. But then comes, sadly, a famine, which is another thing that God prophesied would be part of the chastisement. So we're still going back to the chastisement of David. So, Brad, could you read 23 to 26, and we'll finish the chapter?
Now, Joab was over all the host of Israel, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and over the Calebites, and Adoram was over the tribute. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was a reporter, and Sheba was scribe, and Zadon, and Eleazar was a priest, and Ira also the
So just establishing who's in leadership. And then we have here in chapter 21 a continuation of the chastisement. Not a small famine, 3-year famine. That's pretty intense, isn't it? God said this would happen, and this all goes back to David's sin. Any other readers over here? Calvin, you want to read? Okay, I'll give you an easy one, 1 to 14. Remember that verse, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? God keeps track. We see that in a very stark way here, don't we? So God says way back, remember when you made this covenant with the Gibeonites? Now the Gibeonites tricked him, didn't they? Remember they acted like they had traveled far when they hadn't and made a league. And then Israel promised, we won't kill you. This is back when they were pretty much killing everyone that wasn't a Jew. And but Saul, in his anger along the way, killed a lot of the Gibeonites and broke the promise that had been made with them. Even they weren't Jews. And God remembered. And he says, this famine is going to carry on until this is dealt with. And so the Gibeonites said, this is what we require. And it says there, it was God that was entreated for the land, and then the rain came. So sometimes we think God just lets things go, but he doesn't, does he? He keeps track. He remembers. And he said, this is from way back when Saul broke that promise with the Gibeonites. So thoughts or questions up to this point? But David's getting old. We're coming up with his last war with the Philistines. But any thoughts or questions first? Are we seeing a bit of a decline in David's ministry? We are, aren't we? Yes, Rachel?
I'm just reminded of a thought that I used to say, our kids, when they were younger, it's intact if you live in one of those, crush more than one of those, and keep you longer than one of those.
sure does. And David's a classic example, man after God's own heart. Brent?
It's interesting in the start of chapter, start of chapter 20, where this chap does this, intends to get Israel to, like, you know, to leave Judah and divide the kingdom, etc., that he's making an accusation that, you know, we've got no part in David, so he's not seeing the promises that God gave for the United Kingdom, but he's looking at it from a purely face value rather than what God's inheritance and what God's purpose for the nations.
Good point. Yeah, he's saying we aren't of Judah, therefore in blood we don't have part with David, but you're all Jews. And the promises were made to David. Remember chapter 7, the beautiful Davidic covenant, that his throne would last forever. And it's going to be called the throne of David in the kingdom, yet in the future. But that's a good point, that he wasn't looking at it from God's perspective. Thankfully, his rebellion was short-lived. Anything else before we look at this final war of David with the Philistines? So we're coming up, of course, close to the life of Solomon, which will be our next study. But let's finish this here. So 15 to 22, any more readers? Let's start over. Okay, Brother Scott, chapter 21, 15 to 22, this last war with the Philistines.
Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. David waxed faint, and Ishbi Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, fought to have slain David. And Abishai the son of Zeruiah succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David flee unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibichai, a Hushathite, slew Sam, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle at Gob with the Philistines, where Ehanan, the son of Jaareoham, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every band six fingers, on every head six fingers, and on every foot six toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew them. These four were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant.
So it looks like the time of the giants is finally over, at least the Philistine giants. Little reminder there from way back when David slew Goliath as a young lad. And then David sang this psalm, which doesn't tie in exactly with one of the psalms, but it actually has pieces of many of the psalms mixed in. So we're not going to do it for the sake of time. It's quite long, so read it this week. If that's your homework, is read chapter 22. It's 51 verses, and it's a beautiful psalm or song that David wrote, essentially praising God for his goodness, his kindness. It's a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. Very beautiful. And then we get to chapter 23, which we'll do next week, which will be his last words. And then a reminder of who his mighty men were, his faithful servants, and then him passing things on to his son, getting the temple items collected and giving him instructions and so forth. So thoughts or questions up to this point before we pray and move on to our next service? Anybody? What are we learning from David? Anything? By the way, he's been through all this chastisement, but chapter 22 is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. So he's still a man after God's own heart. Amen? A lot of the psalms were written after his sin with Bathsheba. So God was still with him. He was still God's prophet.